Hello and welcome to the SEO Andy podcast with me, Andy Kinsey. Before we get started today, I want to quickly run through what we're going to be talking about. So today we're going to be talking about the top tips from Google on how to optimize your e-commerce website, how to get to the top of Google. And this comes directly from Google itself. We're then going to be talking about how you should be removing redirects from your own internal website structure and why you should be doing that. And then we'll be running through Google's news and why that is important this week, because there are a few things there and what I think about some of that. So let's get started. But before we do that, hit that like button here on YouTube. And if you're listening to the podcast, hit the subscribe button. We need more subscribers. So let's get started. As I say, this week we're talking about e-commerce tips. This comes from Google themselves. So let's get started. So number one, have a awesome meta title. This is something we go on about lots and lots on this podcast, and I do generally. Basically, having a really good meta title not only helps someone if they save your item to their favorites or if they come back to it at a later point in time, but it's that blue link you find in search results. However, if, as Google have said in this article, if it's not adequate, then they will rewrite it. And they will rewrite it using, say, the H1 or the first title on your page, or, and this is where things get tricky, using the anchor text, the link text from other places on your website. Now, imagine it does that. You could be linking to, say, a product using a descriptor of that product across your website. Say, yellow dress, whereas you actually want to describe a yellow dress as something much nicer. You want to describe it as a medium yellow dress, a mustard dress, but you've described it as a yellow dress in a blog somewhere, but because your meta title is less descriptive of it, less adequate in Google's view, or you've got your brand in there more prominently up front, or as Google says, you've got some dynamic tags in there, such as the category, or you've got whether something's in stock or its price, which Google doesn't particularly like you putting in a meta tag. Google kind of spits that out and says, I'm going to rewrite this. And that's something else that Google has said here, is if you put a dynamic tag in there, such as the price, the category, or anything else it considers dynamic, such as if it's in stock, for instance, it will take that out. So have a really good descriptive meta title. And the same probably goes for its description. If you don't have a really good description, Google's going to spitball it and just take something from your page. So, number two, have high-quality images. And the same probably goes for videos if you've got videos on the page, but Google here is just talking about your images. And in Google testing, it says the minimum dimensions are about 1,200 pixels. So, that's talking about before it shrunk down, I would assume. But if you've got a zoom on it, it wants minimum size 1,200 pixels. And it says, have the best you possibly can. In my view, that means don't use manufacturer images because they'll be the same as about 90% of other people on the internet. And you want to show them in an appropriate location. Now, what that means is try not to have them on a white background. Now, unless you're Amazon, of course, then that should be fairly easy to do. So if you've got a model, then go and stand her against the fence, stand her somewhere nice, stand her with other people even. If you've got a mobile phone, stand it, put it somewhere in someone's hand, show it as what the measurements are. What one thing I quite like is on LTT, Linus Tech Tips, on their store, they compare things to, they've got little stuffed bananas. They compare things to the size of a banana. It basically says it's their product and this is the comparative size. And then they've got new bags coming, which I've written about because they're really expensive. And they're really good products, to be fair. And they've gone, you can fit nearly 300 bananas inside it. It's a really good measurement in reality, because everyone knows how big a banana is. Next up, use structured data. And this will flow through the next few, but use basic structured data, because Google is able to then make your product eligible for rich product displays. So for instance, you will have seen on Google's search results that actually you will see below, if you look for a product, the price of it, the color of it, etc., etc. And if you want to be eligible for that, you need structured data. It doesn't just read it off the information on your website. It looks at if your website is marked up in the correct way. So you need, as minimum, the title, the description, your images, ideally your rating, although not all websites will have ratings, your price, and the availability. Even if your product is always in stock, the availability needs to stay in stock. Now, what I would say here is that search engines have different views on structured data. The one to always follow here is Google. And what I mean by this is Bing, Google slightly view structured data differently. They have different guidelines for different things and what's required and what's not. Google tends to be a bit clearer on it. Go for Google's. It's just the way it is. If you pass Google's, you'll pass Bing's generally. Next up, share price drop data. So if you've got sale, you will have offer data. Offer data is another piece of structured data you can include within the price. So if you've got price, a regular price of say $12.99, and you're having a sale at 25% off, mark the offer within the structured data. Fairly easy to do. If you've got a plugin in WordPress, it'll do it automatically for you, hopefully. If you need a developer to do it, a bit more complicated, but it's possible to do it. And again, you'll become eligible for more space in search results as a factor of doing this. Next up, identifiers. Again, it's another piece of structured data you can include, but basically, if you've got a barcode, a GTIN, any global identifier, books have them, ASINs, I think they're called, you can mark these within structured data again, and it allows Google and other search engines and other spiders that come along to basically compare the same product again and again, and it makes your product eligible in Google's space for product carousels. But also basically says, this is the product and this is what you're comparing against within the directory. So rather than Google going, oh, you've got a pretty yellow dress and it's this price, which is what you'd basically be doing, is up against every yellow dress, you're saying, this is the exact yellow dress. And if you're your own manufacturer, that's a slightly different thing, unless you're then selling it on, say, Amazon and here, there, and everywhere. But if you're selling a book that is someone else's book on your shop, then you will want that comparison, because actually you might be still selling it cheaper or the same price as everyone else, but you might have much better SEO than them. So that comparison is what you want at that point. Finally, Google says to create a business profile. And what this means is to create a Google My Business. So just go and do it. So even if you've only got an office, it's worth doing it. However, if you've got a store location or multiple store locations, go and do it. I've mentioned this before. If you've got local locations, go and read my ultimate guide. I've linked to it before. I'll link to it again. The reality is Google wants to lend legitimacy to local locations. If you don't have a local location, don't worry about it. Don't do it. But if you have them, Google has more eligibility to put more products linked to them. And basically, it wants to say, these products are here. So Google's tips again. Have awesome product titles. Have high-quality images. Use structured data. The bare minimum, again, is titles, descriptions, images, ratings, your price, and your availability. The two additional ones, your offer data, so your price drop data, and your identifiers. And then create your business profile if you have a location. Simple as that, really, from Google. My point of view is go to town on your SEO. So all your images need alt tags. Your URL should be really friendly. And your categorization should be really clear. And that last one is something that is categorically important, having had a recent update from Google that was all about your content and categorization. So basically, if you had a flat file of URLs for your products, you, to a large extent, got bombarded and it was just mayhem for you. So make sure your products are in categories and it is clear where they are. If you don't have alt tags on your images, go to town and sort that out. And as we've said, make sure your descriptions are unique to the products. Make sure your product titles are unique as well as your meta titles. You can't just put 16 products on saying blue dress. It's just not going to serve you well. So, moving on to our next piece of advice. And again, this comes from Google. Well, it comes from John Muller, who's search advocate at Google. And he's this time talking about internal redirects. And it sounds a bit like an odd one, this one. However, when I explain it, you'll understand it. So John here was asked, if you've changed the way your website exists, so you've gone from being non-secure to secure, so HTTP to HTTPS, should you go and change all your links that exist internally to be HTTPS? And would it benefit you? And a few years ago, Gary Iles said, it's not really tangible to worth doing it. But John here says, yes, but not because of the direct SEO benefit, but rather from the performance benefit. And this is something, as an SEO, I've always advised for the same reason, basically. The performance benefit is worth it. And it's the same with if you change your URL and your brand URL. So, for instance, I have previously changed my URL from SEO Andy to andykinsey.com and back. And I've also changed it from www. To non-www. The reality is you have to go through and do a search and replace to change those URLs. Because if you don't, you will create a chain of redirects, and each of those redirects is creating, it might only be, say, 0.2 of a second of a performance hit for you. But for Google, you may also be creating a small hit on the net worth of that redirect. Specifically as well, if you're going from, say, andykinsey.com to SEO Andy, because it's a completely different URL. But it's worth doing. So the reality here is it's always worth doing, because those redirect chains will always be worth it, especially if you then go to from HTTP to HTTPS. So you may end up with taking three of them out in one go. In this case, it's just talking about one. And the way to do this is to use, if you've got WordPress, there are two plugins, Blue Velvet URLs or Better Search Replace. And they can do this in a matter of seconds, maybe a minute or so. And if you've got, I had at the time I did it, 2,000 blogs, it did it. And it also changed all the image URLs, so they were all secure too. The other way to do it, if you've got a bit of coding knowledge or you've got a developer on hand, is to do it directly in the database. That is my preferred method. It's slightly harder to do, but it's a bit more secure to do it that way. It is worth doing. The reasons are it cuts out those big chains I've talked about. It prevents redirect loops, and it basically stops you potentially getting broken links in that chain, which I've had, as I say, because I took that Andy Kinsey out of the loop. I occasionally see the odd Andy Kinsey breakdown somewhere in the loop because there was old URLs sat on it that now no longer exist. So when I change a file, it sometimes falls over. So it's always worth doing the homework. Now, on to Google News. So, this week, Google has announced a new Google tag. Okay, it's not a new Google tag. It's actually an update to GTAG. For those of you who don't know, GTAG is basically the ads and commerce tag. Yeah, you probably have never heard of this, most of you. But basically, there's Google Analytics tags, there's GTAG, and there's GTM, Google Tag Manager. GTAG is somewhere between Google Analytics and Google Tag Manager. It is what it is. It's basically meant for, it came with double click, back in the day, and you'll understand my opinion on this in just a few minutes. So the announcement this week is meant to be simplifying measurement with the introduction of a new Google tag. It's actually called Google Tag now. And basically it was meant to simplify what is a complex and cumbersome tagging solution, gtag.js. However, I'm not sure it actually does that, because it doesn't really change anything from what I see. And Google haven't made clear what is actually changing, other than they've kept around a clunky system. They're saying it's going to make it data richer, but they've not explained how. They haven't said what the new features are. They've just said it's going to have new features. And they've not really explained anything at all, other than that it's going to have upgrade paths. But they've not said what they're going to be. So my question to Google is quite simply, why, if you are saying this is so much more tightly integrated to Google Tag Manager, could this not be embedded within Google Tag Manager? Why could this new tag not exist within Google Tag Manager? Or is this just a case of Google's teams are just so siloed that actually they always will be, and the claim of privacy is something we're going to have to put up with and just have so many tags, our websites will be forever slow. Because reading this article, it claims to be privacy censored and yet wants to be deeply integrated. But to be deeply integrated with other tools, that cannot always be the case. But I just don't get it. But I guess this is just my view as someone who uses Google Analytics and Google Tag Manager and not so much GTAG. Maybe someone could explain that one. Anyway, moving on. Last week, we heard the Google product review update was rolling out. And as of 3rd of August, that has really picked up pace with the volatility spikes really raging through all of our measurements. So we'll keep a close eye on that. And next week, we will have some more news on it and we will look at some of the winners and losers. So our final bit of news is that Rumble could possibly rumble Google and YouTube. So Rumble, who is also a video platform, for want of a better phrase, in California, have basically won a small victory. Google were denied a motion to dismiss a lawsuit alleging that Google was violating antitrust laws, if I can get my teeth in, which was preventing fair competition against YouTube. Now, this is quite a small victory because it could go absolutely nowhere, by the way. However, this means that Rumble can now submit paperwork to try and get some of the secret sauce around the algorithm and other documentation from Google to basically say, show us what's in your algorithm, show us any documents that say you manipulate, show us any emails, etc., etc. This is all according to Glenn Greenwald. However, my view on this is it probably isn't going to happen. This is still very early stages, and even if it did happen, I doubt very much the court is ever going to let any public see these documents. It could do. We've seen some other documents come out, but not quite this much information. I suspect we will see almost nothing. I also suspect Rumble won't rumble that much. We've not even seen the EU courts get that much information from Google around antitrust. So it's in the air, I suppose. But if it does get any information, this could be hugely significant for the SEO and paid search community, that's for sure. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. Send me a tweet. That's it for today. A nice short podcast for once. What are your top SEO tips for e-commerce? Let me know. I've been Andy Kinsey. Don't forget to hit the like button here on YouTube. Also, hit that subscribe button, whether you're on YouTube, on iTunes, Spotify, or Audible. Thanks for listening. I'll see you again next week.